our graduates. We have some graduates here from high school who are now embarking on their journey. So I'd like our graduates to come up. We have Micaiah Hoopman and Ezra Sedor, Levi DeShane, and this little girl, Ashley. True. Sarah, true. Ashley Westerkamp. All right. So these are our graduates this year. They did not get to have a huge graduation ceremony. Go up another one. There you go. Now she towers over them all. Except me. But that's all right. Yeah. So where was I? Oh, yeah. These guys have, they didn't have a huge graduation ceremony this year, but we did have some parties last yesterday. That'd be last week. Yesterday, and Levi's was coming up, right? Yes, next week. So I want you to keep our graduates in prayer. They have accomplished their high school years, which was all structured. Everything during high school is structured, you know. You have to get your schoolwork done. You have to do all of this. And now they are going on to the next phase, whether it's college or whether it's work or whatever it is, it's a whole completely different structure. And it's a time when God can work. God can work tremendously. So it's a time when especially we need to be praying for them, because Satan is not dumb, all right? Satan is very smart in how he tempts all of us, how he tries all of us. He wants us to fail before God. He wants us to do that. So that's why we need to keep all of our, each other in prayer, and all of our kids especially, but especially our graduates, because they're taking a major step here in the direction that they're going. And God loves them, and God wants us as a body to be supporting them and praying for them. So at this time, I'd like to pray for them, and then we have a gift for them. Lord God, we love you. We praise you that you are in control. Father, you have guided these kids in their lives all the way up to this point. And Lord, they have accomplished this goal of graduation. They've come to the end of their high school years. And Father, you are still at work in their life. Lord, I pray for Levi. I pray that you would grow him in you, that you would guide his life, Father, in your direction. Father, for Ezra, that you would grow him in you, Father, and guide him as he goes into wherever you have for him. And Father, for Micaiah, as he continues to work, Lord, I pray that you would guide him and lead him and help him to follow you, Father. Ashley, she's working and living out her life, Father. I pray that you would lead in her life and help her to follow. Each one of these young people, Father, I pray that you would help them to follow your direction, but first and foremost, to seek your direction. As your word says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these other things are going to be added to them. Father, their life will be fulfilled, will have joy when they follow you. So give them that strength of character. Father, give them that heart of following and a heart of service towards others because of what you have done. Not because they have to, but Lord God, because you put the desire in their heart to follow and to serve. Father, thank you for their life. Thank you for guiding them to this point. Thank you that they are here, that they are not laid up somewhere or Father, whatever. They are here, and Father, they are standing here ready to be prayed for, ready to be living out their life. Help us as a body to pray for them, to uplift them before you, and help us to help them along the way. Father, if you can use us in guiding them in any way, Father, please use us. We love you, we honor and worship your name, because your name is worthy to be worshiped. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we have some gifts for you guys. Actually, Bibles, and they are in the New Living Translation. A very easy-to-read translation, very good. So if you get in there and you start reading in a section in the New Testament, in a like a story that you know, it brings a lot out, brings a lot to life. So Levi, congratulations. I want to bless you in your journey. Ezra, congratulations. You head off to college. You'll be heading off to college. Ashley, congratulations, young lady. I'm tall lady.
Thank you. Look at
that. Micaiah, congratulations. Lord bless you guys. And remember, pray for them. Pray for them. Thank you. Okay. All right. This week I was studying this week for my passage in Hebrews, and I started putting down my notes, getting my outline ready. And normally I have about 3 pages in my outline, and I ended up with 6 pages. And I said, "Well, these guys want to stay a long time today," and I said, "Well, I'm going to have to break this up, so it will be 2 parts." But towards the end of the week, I had someone come in my office and say, "You know, I'd really like to share a testimony sometime at church." I said, "This Sunday." And he said, "Yeah, okay. And I happen to know most of the testimony, so I am loving this, folks. I am loving this. And it's going to be a good break, because instead of learning, doctrine is important, and as we learn the word, it's important, but I want you to see how God lives the word out in people's lives. I want you to see that. And this is a good opportunity for us to see that. And if there's any time left, then I'll start the passage, but I'm guessing she's going to be as long-winded as me, because she comes from me, so... I want to, it's a wonderful, I know I'm building this up a lot, but I'm excited. My daughter Emily has had, you don't know everything about her, but you are going to learn. But she came in and wanted to give her testimony, give you some inspiration on how God works in a life. So, sweetheart. By the way, I figured you'd like this a whole lot better than me anyway. So.
We will see. This is the one and only time I will sweat at church. So about a year ago, maybe more, God put it on my heart that I needed to start sharing my testimony. And I said, "Okay, so who needs it, you know?" And he said, "Of course, take it to your, you know, share it at your church." The one place I was like, "I will never, ever do this. Everybody knows me," stuff. And so I said no. And so our God is a very patient God, and a God of second chances, thank goodness. I had a friend tell me yesterday that God's timing is perfect even when we screw up, and it's very true. So she's the one that I gave my testimony to a couple weeks ago, and she's like, "Why are you not sharing that testimony?" And it's very true, because our testimony is our biggest tool. It's not, I need to go down.
Yeah.
Better. Anyways, it's not the big wad of shame that I have always looked at it to be. It's how God is working, how he works, and it's especially in a time like this where fear is overtaking the world and that's all people see. We need to be sharing how God is working and who he is and how powerful he is, and so that is what I'm here to do. I have to tell you before I start, though, that the conversation we had last night was Isaac was sitting at the table, and he's like, "So Mom and Dad said we had a special speaker," and Matt, who I had told that I was doing this, the only one I told, was like, "Oh, I hope it's not a woman." And Isaac's like, I just like, oh yeah, why? He's like, well, if it's a woman, then I can't learn anything. I lost it. I was dying. And this morning, Matt's like, he's like, I was kidding. I forgot. I was like, I know you're kidding. So anyways, you guys, everybody pretty much knows me. I grew up in a Christian home. I was saved at a young age. Very loving parents who cared for us a lot. I also grew up with the impression that I am Mark Caston's daughter, so I have to have it together. You know, it was a very proud point in my life that we had it together, I had it together. At the age of 12, my mom started having some health problems. You have 10 kids, your body's going to whack out. But we didn't know what was going on. Like, she was having all kinds of symptoms. They were going to multiple doctors. Nobody could figure it out. With all her symptoms, she was having a hard time doing stuff, just functioning because of everything going on. And so I started taking over because I'm a caretaker. I started taking over, helping a lot out with stuff because she was just having a hard time. And so once again, as you can tell, pride is something God has had to work with me. But I became very proud of the fact that I was doing mom's job. I was taking care of people, or taking care of the family, and I was only 12. And that pride eventually planted a seed of resentment and bitterness. I was doing mom's job, which she wasn't doing. I was taking over, she wasn't, you know. So, and when that seed of bitterness gets planted and you don't do anything about it, it's going to grow. So it continued to grow, and I did not do anything about it. At the age of 14, she had the twins. Her symptoms did get a little better at the time, but after the twins, they eventually got worse. And so then I was taking care of the family, helping raise twins. Very proud of that fact, and my resentment and bitterness continued to grow and grow to the point that it was turning into very bad bitterness. I couldn't stand being in the same room as my mom. I wanted nothing to do with her. I was the one doing all the work. She was not. When she would try to have conversations with me, I would just shut her out. And then eventually you let bitterness get that big, it's going to turn into something. And you're going to deal with it some way. And I found that since I could not control my circumstances, I could control food. And I developed an eating disorder. At first it started out just not eating, but then it went from anorexia to bulimia, because I found that during binge purge episodes, all this bitterness and pain and rage that I had kept inside, like, I could numb it a little bit with that. Afterwards, you would feel terrible, but that little moment of, the little moment where it was numbed, it became an addiction, basically. So I'm in the middle of all this. I'm also dealing with a lot of depression and anxiety, which I was not doing anything about either because I had to keep it all together. I'm not going to tell people that I'm dealing with all this stuff. And that started leading to some suicidal ideation because life was getting really, really hard. So eventually, I turned 18, I had to go to college. When I went to college, I had to leave the twins, who were my babies. And that was incredibly hard to do. I go to college where I don't know anybody. I'm already super shy. I don't know how to make friends. And so that was hard. So the, eating disorder that had been like, It went from, like, you know, every now and then to every day to, like, multiple times a day. because that was the only way I could deal with, like, everything that was going on. I had such bad, like, pain inside me. I physically hurt in my chest, and I did not want to keep going with life. The only reason, and I had plans of how to do it, I didn't care, but the only reason I did not was because I still believed in God, and I was like, I'm going to get to heaven, he's going to be like so disappointed in me, and I'm like, he's already so disappointed in me right now because I am hurting myself. I know I'm hurting myself. I know I will eventually die from this, and I don't care. I know I am hurting my family because Mom and Dad multiple times tried to talk to me. Mom cried to me. They tried to get me to counselors. I would go. I would push it aside. And every time they'd talk to me, I would shut them out. Anybody in my family, I would shut out. Rachel, I was terrible to, because her and Mom got along. And I was like, she's goody-goody-two-shoes sister. So I'm in college, my fall semester of my first year. One of my classes, God placed a woman there going to school as well. Her name was Carrie, and she befriended me. I don't know why, but now I do. And we started hanging out, and she just became my friend. And it was, I think, my second semester. During the spring, we were at vacation in Arkansas, so it would have been in May. But I had called her on the phone. We were talking, and she asked me if I had an eating disorder, and I admitted to her, yes, I did. And she did not try to fix me, which, because that would have shut me off immediately. But she didn't try to fix me. But she encouraged me, and eventually she's like, hey, can you come meet my pastor and his wife? And I was like, well, yeah, I'm willing to meet them. That's fine. So I went and met them, and then she eventually talked me into counseling with them. She said, I'll go with you. And so I was like, okay, if you go with me, that's fine. I'm like, I'm a terrible person. I'm not going to drink it, but whatever. So I went and met with them. So he's like, so why are you here? And so I started going through it. I'm doing this. I know I'm hurting my body. I know I'm hurting my family. I've made my grandparents cry. I am very aware of what I'm doing, and God's incredibly disappointed with me. You know, I went through it all, and he sat there, and he's like, so. He's like, whoa, did you feel that? And I was like, feel what? And he's like, well, God just fell off his throne. I was like, what? He's like, and then he begins speaking to me about grace, the fact that God's not surprised at where you're at. He knows, and he loves you. And we began meeting multiple sessions, and he continued to tell me, like, God loves you, and never tried to fix me. I was still continuing to binge and purge. I mean, they were bad. But he just continued to speak into my life. God loves you. God loves you. And I just couldn't get it through my head, because I'm like, God is so disappointed in me right now. He could never love me. And so that continued until one day I was right in the middle of a binge purge episode, and I was, you know, that was always like my, and I was like at my lowest point, because I'm like, I'm getting counseling, I'm still doing this, I'm hurting my family, I feel terrible, I know God's disappointed in me, but I'm still gonna do this. And so right in the middle of it and feeling awful, and I was still remember it, and I was leaning over the toilet, and God gave me a picture, and it was me leaning over the toilet, and Jesus was right behind me holding back my hair, and he had the most loving face I have ever seen that I can't describe. And all of a sudden I realized that in my lowest point, he loved me the same way that he did when I was the good Christian girl. And all of a sudden it clicked and it made sense, and I was like, God loves me. So I would love to say that From that point on, like, I was cured. No. eating disorders are very addictive, and it took months of counseling. It didn't stop right away, but with counseling, with encouragement, I even had once where Pastor Dutzer had to plan, like he threatened. I was supposed to call him when I was, like, feeling like I wanted to have a binge purge episode. And so once I did not, and I called him later, I was like, hey, I screwed up. And he's like, basically, he's like, you need, if you don't take this seriously, then, you know, then I cannot help you. And that was also a turning point, because I ended up going back to him and bawling and being like, I'm sorry, you know, I do want help. And so it became less and less, but it wasn't like God wasn't just taking it away. He was also replacing it. As I learned God's love, as I learned God's grace, and I don't know how long it took, but I do remember, like, one day waking up and, like, I don't have that urge. It's not there. So that's how God talked me grace. And then he didn't just, like, take me from that situation. He also restored relationships with me. He restored my relationship with mom and dad, to where they're stronger than ever. Rachel, the most forgiving person in the world, like, didn't bat an eye. Like she I didn't even, like, ask. Like, it was just, you know, she welcomed me with open arms. So that's the initial, but God's also, like, I would love to say, like, since then my Christian walk has been amazing, but it's God's very patient, and he slowly breaks down walls with me because I'm stubborn, but that's okay. He has taught me, we're talking, stuff I've struggled with is like anger and bitterness towards people. Like, we're talking 10 years of it. But he slowly, has brought people into my life and spoke to me until it came to the point where I'm like, he's like, this needs dealt with. He's broken down walls, but he's also, one of the biggest things he's also taught me is a relationship with him. And it's not just, I mean, it's stuff I've always learned about growing up, but it's actually real. The fact that I can go to him and he can talk to me, and I see him work, and I hear him speak, like, through his word, through other people, that still small voice. It's an amazing experience. But it's real. That's my after, like, in my 20s, my relationship with him was always up and down. Sometimes, God, I don't feel you working. I don't know that you're here sometimes, like, oh, you know, super Christian, stuff like that. And that finally came to the point where I'm like, God, I'm sick of this. I want this. I want to know you more. I want to, like, desire you. I want to, like, actually read your word and want to learn. I want to, like, I want to be hungry for it. And, I mean, and that took years because I have walls. So many walls. But every time he breaks one down, like, what's behind it is amazing. It hurts to break him down, but what's behind it is amazing. But that relationship with God is real, and it's amazing. I want to encourage anybody that if God is putting on your heart to use your testimony, or if God's, like, nudging you, if you feel like you're not going anywhere with your Christian walk, or God's not there. He's there. He's a very patient God, and he will show up. And if he starts nudging you, it's amazing if you say yes instead of no. Because I say no a lot. And don't ever tell him never, because he does. He makes you do it anyways. But yeah, I encourage you in this time of fear, where fear is consuming us, speak up about how God works in your life, and speak up about how you see, what miracles you see. We need to start talking. And that's what we're called to do. So I think that's all I've got. Sorry, I forgot I was going to share this with you guys. I wrote this like a year or two ago. Also said I would never share this with anybody. This is just for God, but, you know, never say never. So this is what God means to me. Your deep, still, soothing, caring voice, the mystery of this love that's unending, unimaginable, not possible to be understood by the human brain. Your constant presence that is felt during each and every situation. Your patience when I lack trust. How your very essence emits a peace that is beyond words. A peace that touches every cell of my body, causing a contentment that not even food, money, friends, the relaxing alcohol buzz, or even family can produce. If I picture the most exciting, fulfilling moment in my life, it doesn't hold a candle to the moment I had a taste of your peace. How you speak to me in different ways, whether it be by what I read, hear in my spirit, through other people, or what I see. It's always what I need to hear. That despite the fact that that there are billions upon billions of people on this earth, I am yours, and you constantly remind me of that. The way you soothe my soul in the midst of this harsh, unforgiving, unrelenting world filled with hurt and pain. This is the God I've come to know. And this is the God that loves all of you unconditionally. We have no idea, like, how much he loves us. I think if we, like, actually understood it, it would blow us away. The little bit I know has blown me away. But don't ever let your past define you. Because I was messed up, and I am still messy today. I still have stuff I struggle with. One of them being a fear of, like, what people think of me, a fear of rejection, hence, like, why it took me a year to come. But God continually reminds me who I am and who he created me to be. So even if you think you're messy, then watch out, because God really, really loves to use messy people. So thank you.
Yes. That's right. Yeah. She absolutely loves hugs, by the way. Just like a, what do you call those, porcupines like them? I gave up this preaching time because I knew you would be encouraged by that. Because I got to live through it, and it was hard. It was an extremely hard thing to do, especially with a pastor, you know, the pastor's kid, right? Or kids. I got more than one, don't I? But I knew even at the time that God could work. It was just hard to convince myself of that. I knew it, but convincing myself of it was another thing. And then she didn't even finish the story, because she goes on and she didn't talk about your MS or anything. Yep, get up here.
I had a million things I wanted to say, and I told Dad, and he's like, so how much time you want, or do you need time to prepare? I'm like, Dad, I can't prepare, like, literally can't prepare. I can't write anything down. And so I told God, I was like, I will go up front, and you just give me words. So that's why it's kind of like here and there and everywhere. So I was diagnosed with diagnosed with MS like 5.5 years ago. And my God is also a healing God. He gave me, basically, I'm not one to be like, you know, just go with it. So I started researching, I started doing different things. And that's also been one of my struggles is the fear of ending up handicapped, ending up in a wheelchair, my family taking care of me. Every morning I would wake up and be like, okay, I can move my hands, I can move my feet, it's a good day. I mean, my symptoms were fairly mild. I only had a couple bad flare-ups, but we even tried, like, I went to a doctor in Florida and we were trying high doses of vitamin D, which that fell through. So when that fell through, I was in my room and I'm like, okay, so I've learned all this stuff about food and diet, and I've learned all this stuff about, like, vitamins, and I'm, like, trying to go through, okay, so what's my plan here? And God said to me in his still small voice that I'm very much loving to hear even more, he said, I have given you every tool you need to heal your body. And I was like, wow, that takes the pressure off. And I was like, and at that point I was like, even if I end up in a wheelchair, it's okay, because he's got it covered. So praise the Lord through diet and whatever, or just it's all him, it's none me at all. Like, I don't have symptoms, and I'm thankful every day when I can get up and do stuff and just be used by him. But yeah, what else did I miss? I'm missing a lot of stuff. But my God's big, and yeah, he loves all of you so much.
I wanted her to mention that because I want you to know that she's run 2 marathons since she had that diagnosis. They're not supposed to be able to do that. And the doctor said, well, you've got a choice of 5 medications here. All of the medications suppress the immune system. And all of the medications were $5,000 a month. And we're going, I don't think that's our only choice. And God has, she's the most disciplined person in the world in her eating. But God has done a tremendous work. And I wanted you to hear it firsthand. I've seen it and lived through it. And at times it was really hard, but it was always, always a blessing. God brings it about because that's his child. He loaned her to me, but that's his child. All of my children are his children. And I get the great honor and privilege of being a part of their life, raising them, teaching them. My wife and I, we get that for 40 years. And it's been fabulous. Okay, not 40 years of children. 39. How old he is. All right, but it's amazing that what I'm teaching you every Sunday, it's not unapplicable. All right, there is application in God's truth. God will never let his word return void. It will not return void. It will produce something. If you want God to work in your life, he will. It may not be the way I wanted. I did not want my daughter to go through that. But that's how God brought her to the place she is. I don't want any of my kids to go through problems. But that's how God is bringing them to the place where they are. And I don't ever want to stand in the way of my God. I have never been disappointed with my children. I've been disappointed in some of the things they've done. But not in my... God is even more undisappointed in us. Beyond whatever I could be. God loves us. He's not disappointed in us. He may be I can't even say he's disappointed. Yes. Like me, I get disappointed in some of the things I see my children do. But I love my children. God loves us greater, even more than I can even begin to tell you. God loves you. In the midst of wherever you are, in the midst of whatever you're, God loves you. Yes, he wants us to live for him. He doesn't force us to live for him. He wants us to. But he wants us to live for him because we want to. That's what when I say we don't have to serve God, I say we get to serve God. That's what I mean. We get to serve God. We have the greatest privilege in the world of being called children of the living God and living out the life of Christ here on this earth before others. That's why I wanted you to pray for our graduates. That's why I wanted you to pray for each other. That's why I wanted Emily to go ahead and this week, right now, I was afraid she'd chicken out. This week, do it now. But that's why I was willing to give this up, because I wanted you to see the application of God's truth in a life. And, you know, people look at the pastor and look at the pastor's family as don't. Look at us as high on a pedestal. We're not. Just like anyone else. Everyone. We're all in the same boat, folks. We are all sinful people that God paid for that sins through the blood of Jesus Christ and gives us life abundantly now. It's not just someday in heaven. It's now. And I love it when somebody gets to share that. So that's why I did that this morning. I do apologize for not preaching, although I know you're really happy because of that. Don't try and go, oh no, Pastor, we're not happy. Right. I was. I thought it was great. But I wanted, it was a special thing. I kind of kept it secret because I wanted everyone to be able to know it, to see it firsthand. I appreciate that, Em. Good job. You'll probably never see her in front of a mic again. Oh, yeah. That's, hey, you're never going to see her give another testimony. Oh, I love that. That's a challenge to her. All right. What do we do? I'm all messed up today. It's 11 o'clock. Why don't we just close?